What up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up?
Yo, yo.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, I'm good. Getting my Conan O'Brien on. Only I may dance behind the desk.
Well, it's funny you bring that up. For those of you who don't know, the writer's strike is done. I feel like I mentioned it last week, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, but this was the first week that the late night hosts were back as well.
Mm.
So, sadly, Conan, not a late night host anymore, but yeah, all the other Dumbos were back.
I know John Oliver's back and he's mad as hell. He's not going to take it anymore.
I mean, I like John Oliver. That's fair. I like Kimmel. I don't like Fallon. I don't like I don't like NBC's late night.
The reason I like Fallon because the Roots are there.
Yeah. See, okay. That's the thing. Yeah. I really love the Roots. So like the Roots, I'm like, yeah, I'm down. I support the Roots. Let's do this. But man, when it comes to like him, mm-hmm. And then I don't know if you saw recently, there was an article about how he's like a horrible jerk on set.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember seeing a video and they were talking about it. And there was a part where it's, I think, Tina Fey, she's giving a speech to, I think it was something for Lorne Michaels. And she said something basically like, you've unleashed monsters onto the world, Jimmy Fallon, somebody else, and then she mentioned there was a man and girl duo that were showrunners for another show, and yeah, they're causing a bunch of, so they also came from SNL too. And it seems like the only person that like left SNL and wasn't a jerk was Conan, and everyone always says really positive things. Oh, it was super nice, he remembers your name, he comes and talks to you, and like
everyone loves Conan.
Well, one thing I thought was funny was I remember one year for the Emmys, they actually said, okay, fine, we'll let the writers of Late Night actually we'll actually say their names during the main ceremony, and then you could do a little reel of the writers, that writer staff. So okay. I remember, you know, each show did their own thing, and then Conan's one is that all the writers are lined up along the wall, and he's just yelling at them. So we say, and so and so. And then cuts the other, and it's just, but you don't hear him yelling. It's just they'll say their name, and he's yelling at that person whose name there he's saying, and he'll just go, and it's just a long line of writers he's just yelling at and berating, because you know, it was just funny. Like his comedy is always, you know, self-deprecating or just like, you know, really mean to himself or just being absurd and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty funny on his part, and it really stuck to my brain, because I'm like, oh, they don't really. They don't go through the list of writers for the Emmys. That's like, you know, that's like, you know, oh, off screen we gave it to Conan, and yeah,
right,
and here are the writers, yay. Moving on.
Conan is one of the best. I think it's really sad that he
got screwed? Ended up
that's a whole other thing, but I think it's really sad that he went out with a whimper. That's what I think is sad, because he ended up like going out because the COVID. Right, like they were doing the show, and then they were just like, "Well, COVID's here now."
Okay,
yeah, that's what shut them down, because they were doing the show remotely, and then Conan was just like, "Oh, I don't think I'm going to come back," and then he didn't come back. So,
right. But he's doing his podcast.
Yeah, the podcast is great, and he said, "Like the
he
podcast
has so many
is...
friends."
Yeah.
Misnomer.
Have you seen the Questlove episode? Or heard
I
the
just
Questlove?
Listened to it. I just it's so good. The
really
intro was
good.
Really funny. What a nerd.
Oh yeah, and they still I don't know if you heard, they actually still didn't beat the record with that one.
Oh really?
Yeah, Goldblum's is still longer than that.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's sad.
No, Goldblum's just silly and off and just, you know, off the wall and all that stuff. So I mean, I don't blame him for
sorry,
winning.
The part that I said was when I said I was sad, I was thinking of the fact that Conan ended the way he did. I was still thinking
about
that. Apologies, yeah. But yeah. Oh, look who's here. Dave showed up.
I was just sneaking through the back door.
Oh, boy.
Dave. Whoa, what the...
Being kinky with it.
Yeah, you know. Got to spice it up sometimes.
Oh, Lord.
I was going to go really far, but I was like, I don't want to even say it. Like, I'm hearing myself. I'm not that much self.
You're a married man now. You're a married man now.
And it seems that Skinny just fell in behind me.
I'm here. Yeah. I'm around. Just taking in, you know, some news. I'm around. I'm good.
Oh, you got a new helmet. Dope.
Yes. I'm trying to angle it that way to get it away from the ugly.
I saw that live. That was great. Really sick.
Yes, it is quite great. There you go.
Yeah, I have my Optimus helmet that used to be here that I really want to keep on display, but I didn't have room and I have these guys here now, so I got to figure that out because I do love that helmet.
I feel you.
And you both your nerd collections have really grown over the years. See, that's the one thing like I can't assess about like myself or Wendell when we're watching these, because Wendell's starting to set himself up slowly in the back, but I've always known I'm moving, so I've refrained from doing the extra mile. It's just that, like, you know, I don't know when, but I was just like, it's not, I don't want to go through the whole nerd setup right now. But watching you and Skinny, Ryan and Skinny, it's like just their collection just grows and grows and shifts and grows, and they're like, I want to challenge that, but I have boxes. I've just boxes and boxes.
The funny
boxes.
Thing is, like, for me, I as much as, like, this section doesn't really change much. Like, I added these two picture frames, like, these two Spider-Man frames on either side of Luke Cage. So that kind of adds to it, and it makes it look like there's more stuff. But ultimately, this part hasn't changed, but there's a lot more stuff, like, out of frame here, and there's a ton of stuff. Like the Home Alone Lego house, the Mandalorian ship, the Bo-Katan ship.
Yeah, I love that one. That's great. That one's sick. The one with the fin that changes.
Yeah, the fin that rotates. Yeah, I have that, and then like I have like the Batman the Animated Series Batmobile that I got not too long ago. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that's getting added in other places that I'm like, I wish I could put it in frame somehow. But then I wouldn't be able to show stuff off. But there's a good chance one of the things that I'm thinking of doing is moving all the Lego that's here. But you guys really only see this one. Removing all the Lego on these two shelves behind me, putting them on the bottom here, and then putting all the... Like, I have those really large Lego Star Wars figures.
Like Yoda or whatever?
I have Grievous, Jango Fett, Obi-Wan... Nah. Like, I have alt Finn, all those ones. I have those
are
here.
Cute, but I like your display now.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I like the Lego and I like the statues.
And those state Lego statues, they look kind of awkward. Like,
yeah, they do, because they look like weird hollow bodies.
Yeah,
it's like, just empty spaces.
It's amazing Yamaguchi before they kind of got their whole Reveltech kind of technology good. That's basically what it looks like, Dave. It's like very. Like ball jointed and
basic. Right, yeah. Well, that's it. And I don't know if you guys remember a couple years before they did it with Star Wars, they did it with DC. So there's like a Batman, the Green Lantern, and they did it with Marvel because there's I have the Iron Man, I have the Captain America. Actually, you can maybe see them right here.
I see a shield. Yeah.
That's so you're referencing these guys.
So for those of you listening. Dave is holding up the armor type that you could put a minifig in.
Yeah.
That series is really good. I have the Wolverine and I have the Black Panther. Those are both up here. But for this series that I'm talking about, I'll try and get one a little bit closer afterwards. But it's like...
They released the Wolverine one recently.
Yes. Yes. Right, yeah, I know exactly. And they did a Batman one, or they're redoing a Batman one. That came out. The hardest ones to get were like the Green Lantern and the Joker, from what I remember, because I think at the time they didn't think those would be popular. But that series did relatively well, from what I understand. But yeah,
I actually want to get the Ant-Man from that series.
Oh yes, I have seen the Ant-Man. Yes,
I want to get the Ant-Man because I want to put the Ant-Man with that series.
With the minifig,
with compared, and they have like their big bots, and it doesn't matter because like he could be Ant-Man. Because I have his minifig somewhere. So it's like, this just makes too much sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I get it. That's cool.
I think Lee J is asking... I think Lee J is asking about what's going on in my situation all the way over here. There's a big mishmash of a bunch of stuff, but it's mostly Transformers, some other Archlord stuff, which is this little... This guy down over, come on, there we go. That guy there transforms into a big truck. And yeah, just a mishmash of Transformers and some other random things here and there. No cohesion yet. I still got to get more shelving to kind of display everything.
That's always the trick when you're setting up, is like, you have to like really bring in all your stuff, put up a little bit, and then be like, all right, how am I going to set this up? Because like, once you set up, I find once you set up a nerd room, you want to set it up at least the functionality of what you want out of your room is always going to be there regardless of what is there. Like, you know what I mean? Like in my current office, one thing I would have invested, and I framed my office with what is up around it. Yes. Those are exactly what I'm talking about. Those exactly.
Oh, I'm showing the figure, the Captain America figure, while Dave was explaining for those of you listening.
Yeah. But, oh shit, I went on a tangent. What was I talking about?
What are you doing with your office? Oh,
so what you're doing with your office. So like I set up all my stuff around it so I could put shelves at the top. That's so dope. I'm sorry, Brian is distracting me with his fancy Legos.
Well, I'm showing it because I was talking about it. I figured you would just keep talking.
No, it was, that was a really cool one. I didn't think you were going to throw Obi-Wan up there. See, it's distracting me again. So about the setup, it's like, I haven't bought any shelves because I got to the point where I'm like, oh, I have everything set up. And then it's like, you know, it's things happen. You're like, okay, well, we might move soon. So like, I'm not doing this.
I didn't even know you were thinking of moving because you have a nice setup.
We do, but it, you know, we're thinking future.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Type thing. We're just like, you more know, space. We're like more space. Well, even now we like, we need a little bit more, like my one thing that is not the greatest about my house, no one listening who might eventually purchase it.
that is fantastic.
Is like the closet space could be better. Like we have, you have to have like a lot of armoires and stuff to have your stuff. And you can only put so many armoires in one room.
So is there armoire room?
Straight up, my partner, our guest room is that of, there's a bed in there. Everything else is legit her stuff.
Right.
Like, it's like she has, like, her walk-in closet is that place.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, that's, my like, ex had that. My ex turned the guest room into a walk-in. Like, she had a vanity mirror with lights around it and just took up the closet space. Because her, the only reason we needed the extra room when we were living together is because her parents come to visit her every year. So she wanted to have a guest room for them. And I was just like, okay, I mean, if you want to get a larger space, that's fine with me. But then she just, I didn't think she was going to turn that room into a walk-in closet, like you're saying. Like, she bought this huge armoire that was taller. Like, it was like six and a half feet. With huge doors that she would hang all her stuff in. There was a bed, there was that, and then there was just this huge table with all her makeup and everything, a big mirror with lights all around it, and like lamps and stuff, and an office chair, and that was it. Just for her to get ready in the morning for work when her parents weren't there.
Oh, and just one quick thing, Lee J, glass shelves, it depends. It depends on what you're going for.
Glass shelves, or like the, what's it called? That thing from
Detolf.
The Detolf. Yeah.
He's just saying glass shelves, yay or nay.
Glass shelves, yeah, I'm wondering, I would be against.
Yeah, if you're going to get Detolfs, it's fine. If you're going to get glass shelves, no, don't do glass shelves. But the Detolf as a display, if you're moving, you can, like the older Detolfs that I have, they were good enough quality that I could take them apart and move them multiple times. And I put them together. They're still good. The newer Detolfs are made really, really cheap and break really easily. Not the glass, but the wood pieces. The wood, funny enough, is the weakest part of it. So when you unscrew the legs from the bottom so that the pieces are all flat for transportation, when you try and put the screws back in, it just doesn't stick. You end up having to screw the pads like an inch over or a couple inches over because you just can't fit it in the same spot as before. So
that, or why don't you just keep those on and just store them properly? Because if you're taking everything, because like, well, sorry, when you say you take them apart, I'm assuming
Them apart for moving.
Yeah. So like, if you just skip that last part, it's doable to skip.
I did do that the last time because of the fact that the other time I moved them before, I had trouble getting the pads back in.
This is so funny because this is like a future conversation I for sure was going to ask you at one point in time because I know you moved with them. So now you're sharing in the world. And I don't mind you sharing with the world, but I get an age-old.
You know what? By all means, I've moved with my collection 4 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. The first time, and the collection got bigger. Not too big between the first and the second, but the third and the fourth, it did get significantly bigger.
Right.
And then now that I'm here, the collection is multiple times bigger than what it was at the last place I was living.
How were you, just because we're talking about it, and like I got Detolf question answered. I imagine, yeah. The Detolf for the glass, I'm assuming you just bubble wrap the shit out of it.
Yeah, well, first off, I want to say a shout out to my friend Mish, who's watching. She just jumped in on the live that I have on my phone. Don't forget, for anyone who's watching there, you guys can watch us on YouTube. It's youtube.com/@FXA Media. You guys can check us out. We're doing the show. You get to see everyone there. When I was moving the Detolfs in the past, yeah, you kind of just take them all completely apart, and all the glass pieces you have to just wrap. I didn't use bubble wrap because a lot of times the movers have those, like, you know, the things that you can use for like soundproofing, those like really heavy. Yeah. So they wrap it. They'll wrap it in that and then wrap it in tape to protect it.
Okay.
And the movers usually just do that. I would recommend the one thing that you have to protect that's really unfortunate. And again, the older versions of the Detolf versus the newer versions of the Detolf. And I know for some people listening, this might not sound like the most interesting thing, but as like, if you're a nerd and you're watching this show and you're a collector, this is important stuff. Mm-hmm. The Detolf is, I would say, one of the most standard nerd collection glass displays. I don't think I've ever been to a nerd's house who has a large collection and they don't have at least one Detolf showing off their most significant pieces, or they have like a room full of Detolfs where they just have everything. And the only person I know who I don't think has Detolfs, Proto Man, is only because he built.
No, he has.
Okay, well, I've never seen them. I've never seen them in the shots that he have as of his basement, because he built in special shelving. So that, like, that's the only time I ever see people not have Detolfs, when they build special shelving for their collections. Mm-hmm. With that said, moving the Detolf is not that hard. The glass, the older version of the Detolf, the glass was pretty sturdy. I never had to worry about it. And the wood was pretty sturdy. The only piece I ever had to worry about, even back then, for the old Detolfs, is the plastic corners. Those are actually, because it's plastic,
the ones that hold the glass together.
The sides and the back at the corners. Yeah. So there's only two per display, but they actually do get more fragile over time. It's plastic, especially if you have your displays somewhere where there's a lot of sunlight. It does that yellowing thing that plastic will do, and it starts to weaken. So that's the one thing that I've had a problem with from move to move. I've noticed those have gotten weaker and weaker, to the point where one of them pretty much felt like if I moved it a certain way, it would crack. But
how old are yours, out of curiosity?
My oldest Detolf I've had since the first time I moved, which was in 2010. So the oldest Detolf was
like 12 years.
13 years. 12, 13 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, still, like, okay. Cool. No, exactly. Mine are like 2-3 years old. But if you're comparing this to 12 years, I think I got some time.
Yeah. Like, if you have the ones that were 3 years ago, you probably got the later ones that I got, where the wood is a little softer, like not as sturdy.
Yeah.
And the pads underneath are a lighter color, gray on those ones. Yeah. But those ones are still good. I still have those displays. They're still in good condition. It's just to be mindful and careful of that stuff. The other thing that's really good, if you guys want to get the Billy from IKEA, that's another good bookcase. The Billy. Is that what you have behind you, Josh?
No, these aren't Billy's. These are the other ones. These are the other ones. But I have Billy's that are upstairs. But I want to get more Billy's. But I'm just like white wood, black wood, because I want to run LED lights.
Oh,
and then put glass.
I was just gonna say
all that kind of options and stuff. Yeah, but that's like I have to actually do it, get the stuff, do it.
So the Billy collection from IKEA, again, this is not an ad for IKEA, but if you're a nerd and you collect and you like to put yourself on display, these are some of the things that are beneficial to you. The billies have multiple sizes too. They have like the narrow billy, and then they have the standard size, like, you know.
They have some with glass. With glass
and that's the thing.
Yeah.
The billy you can get with glass front doors, or you can even get half glass. So what I did, my old billy that I had had half glass at the top for displaying stuff, and the bottom was storage, so I could put stuff away.
Mm.
So you still get the display stuff, and you still get storage.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that is pretty nice. Mm. And then obviously, I mean, this one's a standard. The Kallax, which used to be the Expedite, which is what's right behind me. I have like multiple Kallaxes in this room. I have one here, one behind me, and one in front of me. It's those cubes. These are really popular amongst vinyl collectors because they're the exact size for vinyl. The shelves on the Kallax, which is the newer version of this shelf, is a lot thinner. The Expedite was the bigger one. IKEA decided to go for a little less wood because it was going to save the money, but sell it at the same price point. So be it. But ultimately, the shelves are still pretty strong. You could still fit a pretty solid collection on them because it's not necessarily for the Kallax about the strength of the shelves, but more about how it's built. It crosses the it's supported through the shelf all the way with the screws. So each time you connect a piece, you're screwing it through to another piece. So they're pretty sturdy that way. But yeah, if you're a record collector, mm-hmm. you can also put like doors on the Kallax. Like there's a lot of stuff you can do with Kallaxes that mm-hmm. for display purposes and collections, it's good. But this is all very nerdy for collectors. Mm-hmm. That was very specific for collectors. But if you guys like that stuff, hopefully that felt like a beneficial little breakdown of how our collections and how our displays are set up. But we got some trailers. We got some trailers to talk about. So we talked about this character a couple weeks ago, right? We had a whole discussion about the timeline, about when the movies came out and stuff.
We actually did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So Toxic Avengers trailer just dropped. Jaws, do you want to give us a little bit about it? Because I actually sadly did not have a chance to watch that one today.
Oh, okay. So basically, Toxic Avenger, very old, very historied Troma from the production house Troma, very schlock style of movies from back in the day in the 80s. So Toxic Avenger is basically, I think, kind of like a reboot kind of thing going on. It's two people from a news report, and they're kind of like talking about this thing that happened, and you know, everyone's kind of like, oh, this, that, and then they kind of show you. An incident that happens at a fast food restaurant, and somebody's going around like just really killing the robbers and stuff like that. But I don't think it's robbers. They're what are they again? They're like, not protesters, but they're crap.
Antifa? Antifa?
Kind of liberal terrorists, I guess is the way to put it.
Like anarchist?
Yeah, kind of like that.
They're just angry people.
So basically, they take over.
Because of the toxic waste?
Yeah, so I think so, something like that.
Right.
But they ended up getting wrecked, and like you kind of see some of the carnage that's done. Oh, they're called Nasty Lads. That's it. That's the name of the. So they get wrecked, and everyone's like, "Oh, this guy came by, and he had a mop, and it was really weird." Da da da. And so I think the original series is basically, very schlocky, very gory, and it was around that time of you would go through your video store and you'd be like, yo, what the heck is this crazy thing? And you're like, yeah, sure. And you watch and you're like, oh man, that was nuts. And so there was quite a few of them. I think it kept going. This series started in the 80s, and I think it kept going into the 2000s or something, like a very long while. And apparently in this movie, Peter Dinklage and Elijah Wood are in it, but you don't see them in the trailer. It's just mentioned in the tagline, basically.
Okay. I'm just showing a little bit of the image from it for those of you who are listening.
This one looked like, honestly, this one just looked like the gory part was there, which mm-hmm. is like it looks like a good ode to it. But at the same time, I'm like, Do I want a new Toxic Avenger movie? Am I really going to go see this?
Well, this is so. This is a complete reboot of the franchise.
I guess so.
Like, there's you don't really get a lot from this trailer because it's a teaser trailer, basically. Right. So they're not really telling you everything that's going on. So it's Peter Dinklage, Jacob Tremblay, Taylor Page, Julia Davis, Johnny Covine, Elijah Wood, and Kevin Bacon's in it.
Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, he's like Kevin the last Bacon's name.
Everything now.
How on earth did they get? I mean, I know that there's a game called 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon because he's just, you can connect to him through everything, but I did not expect to hear him linked to Toxic Avenger.
Well, he's still working, so in more degrees.
Honestly, I feel like if anything, they should change it to, like, you have 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but you at this point, you got to do 2 degrees of Nicolas Cage. Like, that has to be... because that, like, him and Sam Jackson have been in literally almost every movie that's come out in the last 20 years.
Yeah. So I'm just going to read the little section down here. Toxic Avenger follows the struggling everyman janitor, Winston Goose, who has transformed by a horrible toxic accident into a new evolution of hero, the Toxic Avenger. Now it's superhuman strength and wielding a glowing mop for his unconventional weapon. He must race against time to save his son and stop the ruthless and power-hungry corporate tyrant bent on harnessing toxic superpowers to strengthen his polluted empire.
Oh my God.
So I remember back in the day, they did make a cartoon of this because you would always make a cartoon of anything.
The cartoon was better than the movies.
And then also back in the day, you would have toys of aliens, Terminators, RoboCop, Predator, this.
Good God. So many things that kids themselves shouldn't watch, but they made action figures for the kids to play with.
Well, the thing I'm always surprised at, you go to any Comic-Con, any convention, there is always going to be a young child dressed up as the Predator.
Yeah, always.
I remember seeing online, there was a kid that had a crocheted Predator outfit. Crocheted.
That's for sure his dad is a fan. And his son was a fan, he's like, I'm going to give you everything I never had.
And what's cool is that those kids get into it. They actually like walk around, they hunch over. They got their skull trophy.
I'm always wondering, like, how much did the parents show the kid? Obviously, not murder scenes, but they must have watched videos of the mannerisms and the movements, which already I'm like, good for you, kid, if you are comfortable watching, because they're not. Like, Predator is not a nice looking character. It really does look so cool. It does, but it's an intimidating. I would imagine it's an intimidating looking character for a kid.
Yeah, so it depends. Some of them are more adventurous than others. I remember I was watching things like that when I was like more 8, 10.
Well, didn't we already have a discussion about how you were way too young when you watched some of your stuff?
Oh, a lot of stuff.
Yeah, there was
way too young, things. And I saw, what was it called again? Silence of the Lambs. Way too damn young for that.
Oh, I never watched that one.
Ugh. Yeah, y'all were crazy. Like, those are some wild ass stories.
It was more like my parents. I think it's more like my parents were like, "Oh, he's gonna for sure, like, you know, get scared and go away," and then all of a sudden, like, it's the end of the movie, and they're like, "Fuck, he's still here."
They're just. I like the idea that the parents are just like, "I don't have to warn the kid. The fear will make them leave the room," and 2 hours later. They're just like, should we be worried that our child did not fear that movie at all? Just absorbed all of it and is perfectly happy with their life. The kid's like sitting there like, more blood.
You know?
Oh, God. Yeah.
But funny enough, I think I remember as a kid, I got a little spoofed from Army of Darkness because what's funny is when I was a kid, I always remember like a little scene. I'm like, I feel like that scene that scared me when I was younger was like, not as bad as I thought. And I remember when I watched Army of Darkness again for the first time, like, you know, when you're older and you're actually really watching movies and shit. I watched Army of Darkness, I'm like, wait a minute. And I rewind, I'm like, holy shit, this is the scene where I kind of like had a little moment because I was like not cool with the skeletons. I was like, hilarious.
Mike K is telling us he watched RoboCop, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Poltergeist when he was way too young.
Yeah, RoboCop was kid.
RoboCop, I feel like every kid watched RoboCop. I blanked out the
intro of RoboCop as a kid.
Yeah, I don't remember him getting his hand shot off as a kid. No, but I know we didn't see the crazy uncut bloody part.
Right.
No, not bloody part. There's a cut version. The original version was X.
Like a director, cut.
Yeah, the original version was rated X because you got to see people's like blood and guts and everything getting blown out. But when they actually went to theater, like they kind of either cut or they just removed all the blood, just viscera coming out of people.
Jesus Christ.
I feel like that's a movie I have to rewatch. I haven't seen that movie RoboCop in a long time. The OG RoboCop.
There's a documentary that I keep seeing advertised to me, RoboDoc, and I don't know what I don't know what streaming network it's on, but I just keep seeing RoboDoc, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should actually watch this and watch RoboCop again. And then I have moments of like, I remember watching RoboCop as a kid and feeling uncomfortable with the violence. So
uncomfortable.
I never got through that first part where he just got shot up and his arm blown off and stuff. I don't remember it being so bad, actually.
And fucking, it's, remember, it's go back Red and watch Foreman it. Who's the bad guy?
Yes, it's Red Foreman.
Yeah,
it's hard to take movies serious. Like, there's movies I've seen with him afterwards. I'm like, how can you take this man serious now? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't work.
Yeah,
no, don't mess with him.
There's that's how you do. Don't mess with him. There's a bunch of stuff that you see, and you see the actor later on, and then you go back. Like, I don't remember what I was watching. Oh, I was watching New Girl, and what's his name? Randall Park plays a role. Like years, like seasons and seasons earlier, where he's just like a bit character in a scene. Oh, he's working at the cell phone shop when they're trying to sell Nick a cell phone. And you're like, Randall Park, this was you? Like, you know, like you've gone on to star in movies. You've gone on to, you're directing a film now. Like you're, and you sometimes just almost forget that Hollywood is a hustle and a grind. And some of these actors you're seeing now have been in the slumps for years.
Well, it's like John Lithgow. He has like, he went from like serious role to comedic for a long time, and then I remember him as Third Rock when I saw what was the first movie?
Dexter.
Dexter was before. Yeah, that's it. Cliffhanger. Oh, it was Cliffhanger. Yeah.
Cliffhanger. You don't remember Cliffhanger. From Harry and the Hendersons?
But that's the thing. I did, but when you see him in a movie like Cliffhanger, you're like, holy shit. Yeah. Like, he's, and I even saw him in another movie once where I just saw part of a movie that he was in. I'm like, this is dark as fuck. And he had like full set of hair, like thick hair. I'm like, you're fucking young in this movie. I was trying to find the name. I couldn't to try and actually watch the whole thing. And then he goes to Dexter after like being funny. You're like, oh, I guess some things don't grow old. Should we be concerned?
Yeah. I mean, if anything, that's a commentary on how good of an actor he is. And I think the best actors are people who can do both drama and comedy and like thrillers and stuff like that. Because some people, like, bless Cena. I love the dude. But Cena can't do serious. Like, when you look back at the movies that the WWE was trying to do with him a couple years ago before he got into the comedy stuff. And, yeah, like, all those, like, very serious kind of, like, military thing. And now he has a movie, I think, I don't remember what it's called, but I saw a trailer for something that he's in that's coming out soon where they're almost marrying the comedy with the serious, where Alison Brie is in it and they're saving a dictator.
Yeah. I think we did the trailer for that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, like it has comedy beats.
It's basically kind of like White House Down. He's supposed to be in the field, but he's injured, so he takes like a different type of, like, he takes like a desk job. And then his friend's like, Christian Slater. I got a job. You can, like, you know, you can do what you used to be doing, and you were good at it, but you know, it's gonna be a cakewalk. And then it turns out a dictator, and I think Alison Brie plays a investigative journalist or something.
Exactly.
What's funny about that is I was actually going to suggest that if he ever wants to actually branch out to some form of serious eventually, he should try and master action movies first, because he won't look so bad if he can't. Well, not, I wouldn't say can't act. It's not that he can't act. It's that you're trying to remove the facade that you're like every kid's dream to being their dad. Or something like that. Like, you know, he has that like really homey, really like you're either funny. You can't not be funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to get rid of it. Even The Rock for a while, he was more stereotyped as a certain way, and he's gotten some range, but like not like, we've already talked about who's the best.
Right.
Like, I don't want to like go back. And I finally saw, what's that movie? 2049 there.
Oh, 2040. Yeah.
2 second commentary. That, why am I watching this movie? This was movie was boring, except for
you're talking about Blade Runner, right?
Yeah. I thought that boring AF, except
really?
I thought that his acting in that movie was really I thought everyone was acting Batista, was good.
Right?
Yeah. Gonna say the good things about the movie is I thought everyone's acting was on point, but like I figured out this movie within like 30 seconds of the beginning of the movie.
Well,
this was a really long movie of boom.
Yes, like even the original, but the whole point is that even the original movie is like that, and then people really got into cyberpunk because of those movies. I do understand that.
Yeah.
But like it's setting up an atmosphere, setting up a mood. And when you think really deeply about the movie and like, huh, that's weird. This guy's place is made out of wood. There's no wood in this world.
Yeah.
Oh, that man's so rich. He made his whole place out of wood.
But I will say though, okay, because Dave
wall. Oh, the flood wall. Oh,
Dave did kind of hit the nail on the head a little bit with this. And I got to ask you guys, do you think that Blade Runner is as good as it is? Or is it just that it influenced an entire generation's aesthetic?
I think
Blade Runner, the original, or are you talking about this contribution?
Yes, the original. The original.
I think it's actually as good, but I think the problem is that there's so much cuts, there's so much versions, and you gotta like find the right one. Because there's one where it's like, Harrison Ford does
a narration,
but like he purposely phones it in because he's like, this is stupid, you don't need narration, because the executives thought, oh, people won't understand what's going on. We have to put a narration on top of it. I do think it's good personally. It's my type of movie, and I think the last scene with Batty I think is amazing, and that was like not written as that, and I think there's like a lot of argument between the actor Rutger Hauer and the director about what should happen at this point, and he said this amazing thing and just like a cool like acceptance of like, you know what, I'm trying to prolong my life, but you know, I've seen some amazing stuff that no one else is, and then I'm just gone and that's it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's, there's a lot of thought behind it.
So but which one's the best cut then, would you say?
I know with 2049, Denis Villeneuve said the director's cut, just the plain director's cut that builds into my movie. Forget all the other versions.
Yeah.
That's fair.
So go ahead.
No, because I was going to say, I was actually, after watching 2049, I was like, maybe I should rewatch the original ones. I remember as a kid, like, there's certain movies that I wouldn't appreciate like I would today. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's one movie, when I watched it, I was like, because I remember as a kid, I wasn't necessarily confused, but like, I was not so as engaged. So I was a little lost along the way. Well,
I think if anything, it's like anything we watch as kids. Like, half the time, when we were kids and we watched The Simpsons, the amount of jokes you don't get until you're an adult, like, oh, wow, okay. So same thing, I feel like, when you're watching some of these movies, as an adult, you're just like, oh, these are the things I didn't know yet in life.
Exactly.
Now they make sense, yeah.
Exactly. So, but I would say it was, I remember being, like, still enjoying the movie, but I do think it could be easily someone's not their taste.
Yeah. I like the movie. I think when I watched it the first time, I do think Jaws is right with the different cuts, because I watch it in class and I remember watching it with a specific cut that I was just like, it wasn't a director's cut and I don't know which cut it was, but it felt really slow and I didn't like the pacing and something just felt off about it. But then I went to a buddy of mine invited me to Cinéma du Parc here in Montreal on Park. There's a cinema that does a lot of indie films, and sometimes they do screenings, and someone booked it for a screening of Blade Runner. And when I watched it there that day, I was just like, oh, I actually enjoy this. Mm-hmm. So it really was in a different context. But yeah, we were talking about Kevin Bacon before. I wanted to mention one of the other trailers that we wanted to talk about, Leave the World Behind, the official teaser trailer, Netflix film coming out in December. It's going to be in theaters in November for a short window. The usual stuff where they're trying to get eligible for awards and whatnot. So it was what's his name?
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, no, not him, but yes, he's in the film. Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon, Ethan Hawke. Mm.
It's weird because Ethan Hawke and Kevin Bacon look super similar for this movie. Thank you. And I'm like,
dude, when I saw the trailer the first time and it said Ethan, because they show you Ethan Hawke first.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke is with Julia Roberts.
Right, but I had heard that Kevin Bacon was in the film before I saw the trailer. So when I was watching it and it's Ethan Hawke on the screen, for a second I was like, oh, did the person who told me Kevin Bacon is in this mistake Ethan Hawke for Kevin Bacon? Because he really does look like Kevin Bacon. Like,
but then there's a scene in the trailer where Julia Roberts looks over, sees Kevin Bacon, gives him a weird face. I'm like, is she confusing him for Ethan Hawke?
Is he the older version of the other one?
Well, it's just funny because someone sent me the links to Kevin Bacon's IG or TikTok where he's like doing a bunch of stuff on his farm and he's singing and all this stuff. And I was just watching those videos the other day. So to see Ethan Hawke look exactly like Kevin Bacon in those IGs, I was just like, wait, what the hell's going on? And it's like, that's an even more ridiculous version of 6 degrees of separation. Because now it's just like, well, Ethan Hawke and Kevin Bacon are one person. We've all been tricked. And all those movies are now part of the the canon of 6 degrees.
Ethan Hawke could dance this whole damn time.
Yeah. But yeah, if you guys want to check it's not a post-apocalyptic story, but I feel like it's the stuff that leads up to a post-apocalyptic story. It's like... You know, the idea is that Mahershala Ali, and is that his daughter or his wife?
I don't know. I think wife. I want to say his daughter, maybe. She looks very young. I can't.
Because it looks like his daughter, but the synopsis I read of the book said that it's his wife in the book. So I don't know. But the actress playing, that actress definitely should not be playing his wife. Because that would be some weird Hollywood BS where they're like casting a 20-year-old to play a like 40-year-old man's wife. Anyways, it's possible, but whatever.
So the synopsis of the book?
Yeah, the synopsis of the book is kind of a essential just breakdown. They own this house that they rented out. It's an Airbnb. Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke are there with their two kids, 15 and 13. Then all of a sudden, the people who own the house show up, and they're just like, there's a major blackout on the East Coast. Something's going on. We need to take shelter here. At first, Julia Roberts doesn't even believe that he owns the house. She thinks that they're lying. Anyways, a whole bunch of stuff happens. A lot of trying to figure out. A lot of people like starting to panic buy like in bulk and stuff because things are like they're starting to see the blackout is getting worse. They don't know when it's going to end. And ultimately, the story is just like people dealing with something that's about to happen. Now, the trailer looks like they're taking a little bit of a different angle because for the synopsis of the book, it doesn't seem like why do I always say his name weird? Mahershala Ali's character in the book, it doesn't seem like he knows something's about to happen. It just sounds like he shows up because something happens. But in the trailer, they make it seem like he watches patterns and was able to tell something was coming, and that's why he's at the house. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's just a weird cut of the trailer. I don't know if they're trying to misdirect us. Who knows? But so if people want to check that out, that looks cool.
I thought it looked a little mid.
I mean, that's fair. That's
who
fair.
Taught you mid?
Out here using.
I mean,
mid
isn't
like
it
that.
Short for mediocre? At least that's what I think.
I thought that was just a weed reference gotten global. That's what I thought.
It could have been too.
Possibly.
You know,
yeah.
People just stole it and just went. Yeah, you know, dab.
True. Wow.
Hilarious. Speaking of misdirects, Argyle's another one that I feel that all the. Argyle has to be one of the best misdirects ever because everything I heard about this,
the thumbnail.
No, like
so. I came across it, I saw the thumbnail. It was just a cat in the bag, and there's an Argyle print on. I was like, oh, I don't need to watch this. And then I actually watched. Like, wait, what the?
See, okay, so for you, that was a thumbnail. My buddy had told me that Henry Cavill is going to have a movie where he's a spy. It's called Argyle. So when the trailer starts
second
with Cavill,
time he's a spy. No, third.
Yeah, he's been a spy. Man from Uncle.
Never saw that yet.
Mission Impossible.
Watch Man from Uncle. It's really good, and it's sad that we're not getting more.
But yeah, so when I started watching the trailer, Dua Lipa, him cutting a rug, I was just like, okay, this looks like a regular ass thing. All of a sudden, you cut to what's her name? Bryce Howard, Dallas. Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah. They cut to her writing on a typewriter. She's writing Argyle. He's a character. I'm like, wow, y'all kept that shit under wraps because I did not know that that's the angle you're taking. And I'm kind of down with it. Like, it's kind of an interesting take. Especially because the director is the guy who did Kingsman. So, like, he's done spy stuff, but now to do spy stuff from the angle of, oh, this is like, this is a story being written by someone. By the way, I'm going to pepper in some craziness. Rockwell shows up. Sam Jackson shows up. It's a solid looking cast. I think this one looks like it could be a really good movie. So
yeah, it's Matthew Vaughn. So X-Men First Class, Layer Cake, Kingsman, The Secret Service, excuse me, Kick Ass.
Oh, Matthew Vaughn's the guy who does shocking scenes that make me not want to watch his movies again.
Yes.
So
like Kingsman. So like there's a scene in this trailer where it's all colorful and stuff, and there's a lot of shooting going on. I'm like, oh, this is Kingsman Secret Service when all the explosions go off and all the people's heads blow up.
Oh no, I'm thinking about the church fight. That freaked me out. Couldn't do that.
Oh, that was good. If it's people freaked out, then you did his job right.
The church fight was nuts. In Kick Ass, it was when wannabe Batman gets his balls lit on fire and he's just there burning in a chair. Scenes I don't want to watch again.
I think what's always interesting, I don't know if he does this with the actors or a specific actor or what, but they always like, he's always like, okay, Nick Cage for Kick-Ass, I want you to play this character as Adam West Batman.
What do you mean?
So when you're Big Daddy, your voice is going to be Adam West Batman, because to you, that's the most badass person ever, because that's his age range. His age range is Adam West Batman. And then with Kingsmen, it's like, okay, Samuel Jackson, I want you to be maniacal, but not maniacal. I want you to, your accent is going to be Russell Simmons. So do that lisp.
That was wild. That was that one. When you're watching it, you're just like, wow, this is kind of telling of who you're trying to be right now, and it's really hilarious. Like, anyone who realized what he was doing, you're just like, well, that's just rude.
I did not catch that.
You broke the glass
or whatever it is now. I'm never gonna unveil to do that.
It's pure Def Jam throwback.
Like, Simmons. And remember like a little bit of a lisp in there. Like, but it's like
the white caps and everything. Like, it really was the Fat Farm look. Like, it's so funny.
That's true. Wow.
Mike Cage just hit us with Cavill for next 007. I don't think so. I don't want 007 too bulky. To be that bulky.
Too clean.
Yeah, too bulky.
He's too bulky.
He needs to be like, Captain Britain first.
I would have wanted him to continue playing his character in Man from U.N.C.L.E. Or if they do a live action Archer, I would slot him as Archer.
Oh, interesting. I don't think he's a little big for Archer too.
He would have to slim down a bit. Like, he can't just be.
If they made him Archer, but then still had homie do his voice, that would just be hilarious.
Oh. Yeah, that would work. That could work. But him as Archer, he would not be able to. I'm not knocking the guy.
Watch Man from U.N.C.L.E. Watch Man from U.N.C.L.E. And that's why I felt, I was like, oh man, I think that would work.
Okay, Jaws hit us with it though. Who are we putting in Archer live action then? Who are you seeing?
You're making it?
We're playing. I know who I would put, and I would just put
the same cast. Except the dude that played. You know, screw it. Put John H. Benjamin as Archer. Why not?
I mean,
he doesn't look the role.
I know, that's
problem.
The whole point. That's what would make it funny. Just like in the first, if you have the DVD or the Blu-ray of Archer season one, there's a special cut. And they're like, oh, we thought we would go with an older looking actor, but, you know, we kind of changed it up. And they just replace Archer with a raptor. So just Robert.
I miss Adult Swim type fuckery back then when the world wasn't so broken and we can make fun.
That comedy still existed. Yeah.
What happened? Remember Aqua Teen Hunger Force? That shit wouldn't fly now. Sorry, go on.
No way.
Do you guys know Matt Bomer is?
The name, but
he plays in Doom Patrol as the guy that's all wrapped up like a mummy.
Ah, yes.
Oh, funny enough, people think him and Henry Cavill look alike. Okay, hold on.
There you go.
Steve Carell for Archer. You're wild. You're wild, Mike. Chill out.
Ironically enough. Maybe.
Oh my good God. That is weird.
I I think Matt Bomer could play Archer.
Oh yeah, just because of his eyes is all lit up like weird like that.
Yeah,
he'd have to put on some weight if anything. But
you know how people with dark hair just shouldn't have crystal blue eyes? That's what that is. Yeah. And that's basically Archer.
That's the thing. He looks like Archer to me. Like when I see Archer, I'm like, oh, Archer looks like Matt Bomer.
He looks like a Tommyknocker. First night, the night before, Tommyknockers. That guy knocking at you. Anyways,
Remington Steel.
Oh my God, that's a throwback. But yeah. Do we have any other trailers we want to go over? We have Argyle, Leave It Behind. Oh, Beekeeper. We got to shout out our man, Jason Statham.
So
I don't understand.
So basically, this movie is not him like, oh, so basically, he's a beekeeper. He has his bees on this woman's property, blah, blah, blah. And then something happens with this woman where her computer gets.
She gets like, you know, those elderly. She gets scammed. You know those elderly scams where they call them and they're just like, something's wrong with your computer. She gets taken for everything, which is really sad. Played by Felicia Rashad.
Exactly. So she ends up killing herself, and then Jason Statham, the beekeeper, goes and finds who did it, and he finds where they're working and everything, and he's like, I'm gonna burn this place to the ground. Yeah. And he literally does that. Like, he takes out this gasoline and he wrecks the whole place, and then he pulls on this threat and he starts unraveling this whole like conspiracy, this whole thing. And then you find out, oh no, he's not just a beekeeper, he's a part of this group that's outside of the government called the Beekeepers, and they're there to like rebalance everything and just run roughshod on everybody if like stuff like this happens. It's nuts. So
the other thing,
anything to do with bees? Does he have anything to do?
The bee thing.
He's
is
a beekeeper. He's actually a beekeeper.
Part of the,
shit. Part of the
shit. Like if he was a wrestler, he'd be bringing bees to the.
But the other thing that's kind of crazy is one of the parts of the whole story is you find out that these guys who are doing the money scams, the money is being distributed to like higher ups, like government officials, police, heads of industry. You start to find out that all these scams are working for these people, and like that to me is what makes it kind of fun, that the beekeeper is like, oh, I'm just going after the scam artist, and then he's just like Jaws was saying, pulls the thread and the thread goes all the way up, and you're like, whoa, this is and it's scary to think that this is a possibility in the real world.
It's just like those old movies, like this goes all the way to the top, and the guy's just like, well then I'm gonna kill everybody up at the top.
Follow the money, baby, follow the money. I love it. Just like was it Rush Hour 2 or 3 that he says that? Follow the money.
I can't remember. Thing I wanted to say is, to me, it's not that he's taking revenge because his elderly woman got taken advantage of. No, it's because it's Elisa Rashad got taken advantage of. He's just killing everybody. He's coming for everybody.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, what's his name? Who's the guy that does those YouTube videos? He's an engineer. His name's Matt something. He does the
Squirrel Dude.
Squirrel Dude. Every year he does the glitter bombs.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, him.
He's just a glitter bomb dude.
he does the squirrel thing. He does the glitter bombs. People know him for different reasons.
Yeah.
Matt Rober, I think is his name.
I think it's Matt Rober.
Something. Engineer, right? Yeah.
At one point, one of the things that he did is he started tracing back some of the people for the
scams,
glitter bombs for the scams.
Yeah, and then he teamed up with a British dude who was also doing that by phone. Yeah. There was like a whole bunch of these dudes. Yeah.
Dude, and then they got the police involved.
Yeah, bro, I went deep. I went super deep.
Did you see the one where they put the roaches in the call center? They got the cameras in.
Yeah.
Yo, dude.
The guys are freaking out. They were
Well, I know. Didn't he say he was going to stop doing that? He's like, I got all the information. I gave it to police. And, you know, if I do anything crazy, I could be liable.
That's the thing. He did it earlier on, but one of them got so far that like the guy that was helping him in India almost got killed. Like he got burned.
Yeah.
Like they figured out he was in on it. So that's when they're like, okay, we're not doing it like this. Now we're just going to get the authorities involved.
Yeah.
But there was he did another version of the glitter bomb. And I remember the year where he was just like, I'm not even going to release the video because there's some stuff happens, but we'll eventually release it once the authorities. I was like, what are you talking? Yeah. How are you gonna say it so casually, right? When the authorities give the okay, we'll start to show the video.
Never give me the okay, man. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But it's pretty crazy. So that's why when I saw this trailer for The Beekeeper, it made me think of that. And I was just like, someone must have watched these Matt Rober videos and been like, yo, the next stage of this is just a psycho who goes in and starts murdering these guys.
I'm here. Listen, like, they do come away with enough of your money, and then they start like, you ever seen the there's this one guy who can actually speak, like, and then they go off and they start cussing out your mom, and it's like they get mad when you figure out their scams. So it's like,
oh, dude, bro. I record them sometimes. I record the scams because I'll record them and I'll do like weird accents and do a whole character. Like, there was one time where the guy got so mad because I kept him on the phone for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And the whole time he's just like, no, but you just have to tell me your bank info. So it's like, but I don't have bank info. Like, he started like screaming at me. And the other day, one of them called me and was just like, I'm calling you to help you do some investments. And I was just like, what's an investment? And I just pretended like I didn't understand anything. And they will try, because they think you don't understand, they'll try and get you involved in it because they're just like, well, he doesn't understand. So this is the perfect like mark. Mm. And instead, I just burn their time. I do not care.
Just to keep in mind, for the Beekeeper trailer, it says restricted. So in the trailer, he runs some dude's hand through a bandsaw.
Yeah,
bandsaw.
cuts dude's fingers right off, skinny.
And then he proceeds to kill him brutally.
Yeah, yeah. And they show you him cutting the fingers off.
Well, you already cut man's finger.
Like, what else is going to happen in this movie?
My favorite part of that in the trailer, though, is the guy is on the phone saying, he cut my fingers off. And then he still comes, beats the guy up, and then kills him. And you're like, wait, so you cut his fingers.
So brutal.
You cut his fingers and then let him go outside to make phone calls.
If I ever get to assassin point, I'm never going to be like the overkill brutal guy. I'll be the like, just get the warning dude that you might just stop. Like,
well, you're too nice.
The whole point is that this guy's like a dude bro, so he's the guy that was running the call center, and the call center's all flashy, and then he tells his the security people like, yo, aren't you gonna like murk this dude? You know, he's like that kind of guy. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, please kill him, please.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I wouldn't be a pushover, just a little bit more than Batman.
But like Dave said, if that's just in the trailer, what else is happening in the movie?
Balls are getting cut off for sure.
Things are happening, that's for sure.
No, come on. If you're showing fingers in the trailer, you're gonna see there's definitely some sort of groin injury in this movie.
Oh, yeah, someone's gonna get shot in the balls with a shotgun,
some kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Someone's gonna do the old what do they call it, the zipper, or what do they call it when you know, I only know that because of Sons of Anarchy, just FYI. I want to make that clear.
I didn't know what you're talking about. I'm already
like, hearing about it. I don't like, no.
It's sorry, do you guys want to hear it or not?
No.
You guys are all like wondering something. I don't understand.
No. That's like when my friend of mine was reading Punisher Max, and he's like, hey, Wendell, guess what happens in this scene? What, some guy gets his balls cut off? Yeah, he gets his balls cut off, and you're in a cup. And I'm like, what are you guessing? I didn't want that.
Let's go to something cleaner, guys. Let's go to View the Right Thing.
Thanks, Jaws. No,
save us. RC Dreams of Daycon. Is that what did I say it properly?
Yeah, yeah. So basically, the two things I have are two what do you call them? YouTube videos. So RC Dreams of Daycon is basically an animated short, and it's you know, of this character from Transformers named RC, and she's fighting Galvatron, who ends up taking on more powers of Unicron, and he becomes a big giant like circle kind of thing. And I think the whole point of that is it's paying homage to what could have been the first Unicron toy in 1986, after the movie came out. Like, they were toying around with the idea, oh, maybe we can do a Unicron toy. And if you look up the toy, they call him the big giant mango because he's a big ball and he's got the legs coming out from the bottom and the arms coming out, and it just looks really ridiculous. And they were like, you know what? We're not going to do this. We're not going to make this. So they just kind of moved on. And some pretty cool animation going on. It's animation by this guy named 87 Render. And originally they also did another short with Starscream, basically. So it's a really cool video. RC Dreams of Daikon, check it out. It's really, really cool. And then the other video I have is from Andrew Russo, why Duncan has such dry ass terrible donuts nowadays. So it's basically like the top people at Dunkin' Donuts are like, man, no one likes our donuts anymore, but we have to tell the guy that's creating them, like, hey, we need like something better to do, we need something greater to do, and he's like, no, make them dry as concrete, do this, do that. And you're like, why are you doing this? And he's like, there's a what is it called again, an asteroid that's coming to Earth. Dunkin' Donuts has partnered with NASA, and the dry ass donuts that we're creating are going to be thrown out, but are going to be collected and used as heat shields for our rocket that's going to be sending people to the asteroid to blow it up from the inside. So basically Armageddon with Dunkin' Donuts, and but then it takes a weird twist at the end, and it's really good. So Andrew Russo, he does a lot of good short form skits and stuff, but it's just him acting as everybody. And this guy's really, really good. Check it out.
He's the one that I like who does the TikToks, right? That I was telling you about, where he does, where he pretends to be a knight from the past.
Yes, and Timmy.
He has a Timmy.
He's a little boy, Timmy.
Yeah. And he's like always really bad mouth, like mouthing off the teachers and parents. Yeah.
Yes.
Andrew Russo has a really good TikTok. If you guys are looking for like a rabbit hole to fall down for a TikTok scrolling, he's one of the better ones. Dave, are you gonna hit us with some Ahsoka?
I am.
Don't spoil it.
Sorry, okay, I was gonna ask if anyone did.
I didn't see.
Well, you watched today's episode?
I've watched everything.
How did you even have time? You were late. You said you were gonna be late for this.
It came out Tuesday.
It comes out Tuesday 9 o'clock.
Oh yeah, that's true.
They're all
just like Loki is
Friday.
Friday.
Is it Fridays? I thought it was
Thursdays.
Yeah,
it's just Friday.
So I saw it all.
Was that the season finale?
Yeah.
Oh damn! I wish I had watched it then.
Yeah.
Okay. So you so can't do you the finale, me, you but do okay. last week's episode.
I'll go cause... up until I could give my narration more or less up until last week's episode. I'll give my impressions without knowing the knowledge of what happens in this episode.
Yeah, because we at least finally found Ezra.
Yeah, which in that episode, sorry, him not wanting the lightsaber really makes me off. I'm like, what the fuck?
And what do you mean? He's super force strong now,
dude. It's how he did it. He looked scared of it. He looked like it was like he looked like a little puppy when she tried. I'm like, what are you doing?
Like you did take a lightsaber, but you took a gun. Like, come on, what are you talking about?
And then like the force thing, the fact that it was the exact same, like, is this actor just like really not wanting to apply himself, and you just have to make him go?
For those of you listening, Dave is putting his palms up and just looking like a scared child.
Yeah, he's just moving his torso.
Yeah, he's not really into it. Like, he has to get into
moving his torso with his palms straight up.
So,
like, instead of Ezra, like, really, like, using the force, like, pushing. You know how Kylo Ren really
pick
the
guy up and throw him to somebody else.
Yeah,
Luke did that. 2 seconds, push.
I get it. I'm with you. I wasn't impressed with Ezra. I'm happy he was back, but I wasn't impressed.
And if he's going to be like a peaceful Jedi, we don't need that. We need badasses. Thank you very much. The peaceful Jedi are all the dead ones in the fucking temple. We don't need those. You. Those are not the guys who would have survived.
Big facts.
Sorry.
Like all the badasses died too.
Sorry. So and this guy was alone on the planet. You're telling me after all this, he's not like comforted by my lightsaber? The thing that helps me. It's like a tool for everything. Like,
also,
it's not just killing.
Can I understand? So at the end of Rebels, Ezra and Thrawn get drafted through to this other, what's the planet called?
It's another galaxy. They
another galaxy.
He calls on the whales and they come.
But the Night Sisters live specifically on the planet that is like the end of that voyage. And as you're watching that, I'm like, okay, so this is how Rebels ended. Got you. Then we fast forward to this episode of Ahsoka where you finally get back to Thrawn and Ezra. And Thrawn has an army, has a ship, has all
he
this
has stuff. A whittled and, army. Whittled sure. down.
But he still has an army and a ship that's ready to like load up, and the Night Sisters helping him. And Ezra is living amongst turtle people in the wilderness.
Is it like Thrawn got there and was like, hey, all humanoids, you're with me now.
Wait, so hold on.
No, one sec. What was, I want to add one moment.
For someone who didn't see Rebels, I'm just asking you the question. Did he not get transported with the whales and Thrawn and all those people? I didn't see the end of Rebels.
I remember it being two just them. I don't remember. And regardless, right. though, he has an army. If it's been as long as they say, there's no way that specific army would still be alive. Like, okay, you so know
if it was
I
just
mean?
Two of them, I'm also with you in saying what the fuck. Because now, yeah. you, but, I don't know. And but I was kind
you
of.
Have, you clearly have had Ezra versus Thrawn to a certain degree this whole time. And he's lived in the wilderness. He's not jaded a little.
Yeah.
Like, he was pretty positive.
He's such a happy-go-lucky
hey,
person.
Home. Hey, let's just pack up. Let's go.
Yeah, he didn't lose. Like, he didn't lose his spirit at all. Like, homie was like,
but he was never like that. He was never that positive. I know. Like, you I know agree. What I mean? I'm not there. I'm like, you're not like how, no. Like, what took you so long?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he does stars? Say the joke. He does make the joke. What took you so long? But like. He says it in a way where you're like, oh, you're joking, as opposed to, bitch, I have been on this planet for 20 years by myself. Where the fuck have you been?
Hold on, but wait, to counter that, if I'm Sabine, I'm like, dummy, who told you to call intergalactic whales and take off without telling nobody, you dummy? Fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, you know what? That's what Sabine should have been doing.
You're lucky
but
you lived. With these turtle yeah. people. What's going on here?
That's what Sabine should have been doing, but frankly, I'm going to say this out loud.
Let's go.
She's a bitch in this show.
I mean, oh,
she yeah, a bitch?
Tell us how you really and feel.
I remember her being more badass, noise. But, you know.
69, that shit or whatever. Bring back the Sabine from Rebels, because she was a badass then, and like, what happened?
Didn't she have the Darksaber?
Yeah. At one point in time,
being who she is, because she's a bit of a wussy in this show.
You're telling me like I lost Ezra, like
yeah. I feel like Filoni wanted to give Sabine motivation beyond what the character had ever expressed, and because Sabine starts off so jaded in Rebels and not really about family. Or at least being like standoffish towards the idea of like family. And then towards the end is so attached that we're supposed to think the loss of Ezra has her so emotionally like hurt.
She's broken.
Yeah, she's broken. And it's been like everyone's calling her a hero, but in her head, she's not a hero because the person she finally gave into and considered family is gone. Even though everyone else is like
alive and
Chopper,
well.
Zeb, yep. Hera. Hera's kid. Like, yep. I know Kanan and Ezra are gone, but guess what? The other people and Ahsoka are there. You could be happy that you guys survived, beat back Thrawn. No. You're just going to throw everything away to get to the one person.
My girl gave the nigga the map. But she said, here.
When she gave him the map, sorry, Dave. I just want to say, when she gave them the map, I was... livid with that decision. I was livid.
I died. I was like, Chloe's
so the laziest decision. Oh, my master's maybe dead now. Okay, I'm good. Yeah.
And then she's in the ship and she's like, when am I gonna go see Ezra now? And the man's looking at her like, bitch, you still
yeah. thought it was gonna be fair. It's like, welcome to the dark side. We have cookies. And then, like, are you surprised we don't have the cookies?
This. Like, the fact that
we have cookies, but they're burnt black. You know? And there's raisins in those cookies.
I really thought when they, like, I know that Ray Stevens' character was like, Baylan was like, oh, I have to honor the promise I made. And I was just like, okay, I guess you want to honor the promise. But when Thrawn showed up, I was like, this nigga about to say, fuck that, kill this bitch. Like, I was sure that he was just going to be like, this is a strategic play. Slit her throat. Like, it's yeah,
exactly. That's exactly what I thought he was.
Like, why on earth would I leave a Jedi? I've been beaten. I'm one of the most. I am recognized as one of the most strategic minds in Star Wars lore, and I got beat by a child and this girl, and I'm still gonna turn around and be like, let them reunite. Let them work together and come after me again. I can deal with it. Bitch, no. What's wrong with you?
Especially when it's been 20 years and I got like gold face killer on my side.
He's like, get out of here, your bootleg fucking costume. Get me back home, fuck.
Captain Enoch, I gotta say though, that's a dope helmet. That's a dope helmet.
I feel like he's got melted into that helmet, man. I'm tired of looking at him, man. Get him out of here.
Oh my God. Wild. All right, Dave. So, like that episode, you got to admit, though, kind of crazy. Like,
I'd rather not speak further to not say something.
No, that's right. I'm saying episode 7, though.
I know. Like, I am standing by my current statement. I don't want to say anything about that. I'd rather not.
About the not the finale, the last episode.
You're saying how your opinions about the last episode was really, really dope?
No, I'm saying the episode's crazy. Like,
oh yeah,
Sabine shows up, like Ahsoka shows up. We have a lightsaber fight. Ezra doesn't want to hold a lightsaber. Why did they even let Sabine go after him? Thrawn's being an idiot. Like, there's just so many things that I'm like, this is insane from a like. This is a type of writing where I need to move the plot along so everything's just going to happen at like for a reason. Like, here, these things just happen, as opposed to these characters staying true to themselves and, you know, Sabine being like, oh, the faith of the entire galaxy is at stake. Let me destroy this thing. But instead, it's like, no, I got to meet my boy Ezra. I gotta risk the entire galaxy for Ezra. Sorry, y'all. It is what it is.
And like,
whoopsie doodle.
And for me, it's like, at first I was like, is it family? Is it that there's an attraction? I'm like, I don't get the. I felt like the motivations in itself, like other people said things that they thought was her motivations. She never came clean to say anything. And when they met up, it was like, I thought it was it's like almost like when you used to go on a date and then like you would describe the person and then when you meet them they're not what you thought they looked like.
Right.
It was like it's an awkward hello. I felt like that's what it was. I was there and I'm like, this is like that's one like again, I feel like the Sabine character was messed around with maybe too much.
Yeah. And you know what this reminds me of? This is also the Sharon Carter character. In yes. The Winter Soldier.
Yes.
Which now they're going to retcon to be a Skrull. We all know that's probably what's going to happen.
Thank gosh.
But until that is confirmed, this is just a character doing things to do things, and it doesn't make sense. Yeah, and it feels lazy that they do that so much these days. Anyways,
Let's play a game called Who's a Skrull?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
Everybody gets a pick. Two picks. Everybody. Ryan, you go
two
first.
Two picks. Sharon Carter, 100%.
Okay. All right, Dave.
Come back to me around. For the second one.
Dave, who's the Skrull?
Come back to me.
You can repeat characters too. Who's don't...
I know, who's but that, like I want.
Who does Lea Julia Dreyfus play? What's her name?
Valentina.
Boom.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good guess. That's a very good guess.
That's I thought that was the whole point of her. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She seems too eager about stuff.
I'm gonna say Tony.
Ooh, okay. My second guess is that it wasn't Tony, but it was Pepper.
Okay,
I could do all Pepper. Right. I'm seconding the Pepper.
I want to say Pepper.
Tony, because in the comics, there was a Skrull that went so far and believed he was a motherfucker. And they were like, no, you're not him. Stop it.
I honestly don't want them to do that because that was like a really good payoff. And the whole point of him dying is if you go back to the first Avengers, Cap says to him, are you willing to put your life on the line for anybody here? And then Tony, yes. In the end, Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you just, oh no, I was a Skrull the whole time. Like, oh, that's all that emotional growing is just in the toilet. All that emotional growing is straight up, like him being worried about the future, him being worried about Spider-Man, who is the future, him being worried about his kid, who are the future. That's his whole deal. He makes everything better because he wants the future to be better, but it just keeps biting him in the ass.
And I agree with you 100%. I will say, though, to Skinny's point, if they're borrowing the Hank Pym Skrull storyline, that actually would make sense because in the comic book, the Skrull who becomes Hank Pym doesn't even realize he's a Skrull. He's so in the Hank Pym brain space that when he finds out he's a Skrull, like multiple times he finds out he's a Skrull, it causes him to go crazy.
Mm.
So if you're going to go that far...
He's so deep undercover.
You're right. Yeah, he loses himself.
But I'm sure, I agree with you though
that it would take away from the character if they did that for.
And I don't think they would do that because if what's his name comes back, if Robert comes back, he's gonna be like, "Fuck you, pay me." He's gonna be on that.
Yeah, he's gonna own Marvel.
He's gonna come back.
No.
This is a crazy idea. I don't know if Skinny, how serious are you about Tony though?
I'm not that. I was throwing out names for shock. I really had to, like, I wanted to get to my second turn to put out my real answer, but I
don't. What's your real answer?
My real answer is I really have no idea, but I want to say Steve. But even Steve? That wouldn't make any sense.
Nah, he's retired. Although,
like, anyone that would be good would kind of destroy the story. So,
yeah.
Like, you'd have to do, but like, Natasha. Clint. Natasha would be garbage if they did that to her.
Yeah. That'd be especially because they killed her, too.
Right?
So.
T'Challa knows. No.
Exactly. See, you can't do anybody good.
Yeah. Honestly, if they do a Wakandan, I'm going to be mad. Oh, no. Thor.
Because no one cares about Thor anymore.
They ran Love through their best came
out and was like, boo, Thor. Even the actor that played Thor is like, boo, Thor.
Star-Lord. You have a new Star-Lord that comes in and then... While this one's on Earth or whatever, how it ended in the movie.
Yo, like, it's sad that none of the main Avengers want to avenge anymore. Think about it. Captain America, who's the best cap, doesn't want to do it no more. Tony's done unless you give him big bucks. You're not going to see Homeboy who got into an accident because Homeboy got into an accident. Sorry, Hawkeye. Black Widow's done. Hulk is the only one willing to do anything. And then, I mean...
Well, Thor always is down.
Disney doesn't want to pay
plenty
of money.
Thor as a character could seemingly just be like, Hail Thunder! Like, just
yeah,
just
Thor's not... Thor's not a leader. Like, Skinny is pointing out all the leaders are gone.
You named almost every single character from the first.
from the first.
Like, you just simply excluded Thor from the first six.
Who do we have left? Okay.
Well, that's what you're saying, come back as
a Skrull. We don't have what? Cersei, Black Knight. Stop it. Come on. Quasar hasn't been introduced. Captain Marvel, the world hates. Moondragon isn't a thing. Star Fox isn't a thing. Like, what do you mean?
No,
well, he is. But I was gonna say
Wong for that would be a pretty wild one. If Wong
would be a crazy Skrull.
If Wong was Maria a Skrull, yeah, but they, I mean,
that would do her justice, but it wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, okay.
You have a Skrull that's pretending to be one of the Moon Knight alter egos interacting with Moon Knight to control him.
However, Wendell,
Dave,
that'd be nice.
Dave. Well done, sir. Because it would be crazy, but it would be so good because Moon Knight as a character wouldn't even understand. He would be like, wait, is that me? Like, because he's mentally
unstable,
like mentally ill and unstable, seeing himself talking to himself, he wouldn't even process that this is possibly a Skrull pretending to be him. That's very good. That's a very interesting twist. Sorry, you were going to say Skinny.
I'm with Wendell, but Maria Hill would be nice. However, it'd be also nice if that was an LMD and she's actually running shit proper.
Yo, dude,
she needs justice.
I want LMDs so bad. Like,
so do
they
I.
They did it on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
The only good thing they did on TV.
Yeah.
And the Darkhold. Yeah. And Ghost Rider. And
I want to see who the Skrulls are. Are you okay? What do you guys think the Marvels is going to be okay? Because a lot of people I'm talking to are like, this is going to suck. And I'm like, no, guys, it might be good. Fingers crossed.
I feel like it's care.
Because of all the fails, they're going to have an unexpected win.
Is it still because at the end of Endgame, that was phase three, four?
We're in phase five. Yeah, so Endgame was phase four.
Everything after Endgame is all in the same phase, which is phase five.
Wait, isn't the third Spider-Man movie technically also the end of the one?
Oh, yeah. From that Spider-Man. Everything phase five has been mid or lower for the most part of it, with the exception of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I would say.
I'm good. I'm
personally
happy.
I liked Shang-Chi.
I liked Shang-Chi,
but it was a typical model. I found all the other ones to be mid, so I think this is going to be equally mid. Unless this is the last one before the next phase, because they need to boost before the next phase.
Dude, in phase five, we are only two projects in. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Yeah, because they don't count TV.
Because the Marvels, Deadpool 3, Captain America, Brave New World, Thunderbolts, and Blade are all the films in Phase 5. And we've only gone through two. It's because of the TV stuff that we don't count TV.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man. We need them to suck. And I'm happy for this because they suck. And then they're like, wow, we actually need to like put in effort. And then trust me, watch. They're not going to fuck up X-Men this way.
They better not.
They can't because they know that they got nothing left. And everyone's here for it.
I don't know if you guys saw this. They're sourcing writers.
Yep.
Yeah. But they're only doing that for X-Men now. I thought they already had people in.
That's to get people excited. It's to get people excited. You know, they've been had their story.
They better because I'm not okay with the idea that these guys are just starting this stuff now.
Do we remember our pitch collectively as a show? Because we can pitch that. We should.
Yeah.
There's been many pitches. I've always said, just take the fucking cartoon and run with it.
I'm in the DMs of the show director of X-Men 97. I could literally be like, hey, Bo, take this. Let's go. Enough shirtless pics. Let's go. He does a lot of those. Shout out to you, Bo.
That's funny. All right. Guys, that's pretty much everything. I saw the creator. It's cool.
Just really nice.
Yeah, I mean
something original movies. We got to support it because we're not going to make any more.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's an original story. It's fun action. It's interesting. If you like watching the movie, feels like you're watching the prequel to the Matrix universe. Like that, the whole thing of like how robots got mistreated and then there was like a war with the robots and all that stuff. And so it really feels kind of like, especially this fear of AI that's been kind of lurking around. The movie really, really digs into that. So if you guys are interested, if you guys want to see something like that, John David, I will try my best to stop comparing you to your father. It's very unfair.
It won't happen.
It's just hard because he's not doing a bad job, but because I'm hearing, because he really has the same like delivery as his dad, because I'm hearing what sounds like Denzel's voice delivering the lines, and then the lines aren't good sometimes. I'm like, you could do better, and so it's hard. But the action stuff, he's killing it. Like, and the emotion, he's hammered that down because there's scenes where he's like hugging this little girl robot, and I'm like, why do I care that this little girl robot is your child now or something? And I'm like, you go, John David, you go, man. I know you love that kid. Like, it's like, what the hell, you know?
Terrible. I saw Elementals. Cool.
Oh yeah, I like Elementals.
Fire and water and or in some shit, you know.
Yeah, it was cute.
could never happen, but you know, whatever.
Yeah,
Disney's reaching on that one, but you know, yeah, it's all good.
Man, Disney, good luck.
Fired Snow White. They're doing some shit, anyways.
They fired Snow White. What do you mean?
They had to. Yeah, man, I'm seeing it everywhere that they finally fired that girl because she kept running her mouth. So if they didn't,
they can't. The movie's already done filming. How are they going to fire her?
It's done film. Okay, so then my Google News is all mashed up.
Wait. Okay, well, this is big news. We should have put this in. We should have looked
this. We should have looked this up. Shit.
I saw it floating around on YouTube. I was like, I don't know anything about this. I'm good.
She started shitting on what, Snow White.
What's her name again?
Snow White hater. Hold on. Snow White hater.
Okay, so Cinema Blend, who is the only source I trust out of all these other sources that are talking about it, said that the rumors of her firing, yeah, the rumors of her firing have been greatly exaggerated.
Ah, crap. Okay, there you go. Yeah, they're just looking for clicks.
Yeah, because I was like, they have. Oh wow, they even did a Snopes article about it, guys, already. Snopes, this is the officially fired. Okay, so Snopes says, unfounded rumor. On September 25th, 2023, the Disney fan blog known as Inside the Magic published an article with the headline, Disney officially fires Rachel Zegler from Snow White live action. The live action film Snow White is slated for theatrical release in March 2024. The movie stars West Side Story Rachel Zegler as Snow White and Gal Gadot as the Evil Queen. As for the headline from Magic, from Inside the Magic, 12 paragraphs into the article, the story simply cites a lone TikTok user's video as its evidence for the alleged firing.
I'm sorry.
That's why I was like, I'm seeing too much YouTube videos about this. I don't believe anything. Let's move
honestly,
it on.
Dude, every time I see an article is from a site like Inside the Magic, I'm like, yeah, this is bullshit. Yeah. I know even the regular trades can make mistakes and can mess up, but I unless you're Variety, Deadline, TV Line, like all those sites, I'm kind of gonna.
You mean sites with an actual editorial team that has to fact check stuff?
Yeah,
because you know something called journalistic integrity.
Integrity.
And,
yeah,
you know people could sue you if you're wrong about that.
Unlike the people on Twitter who are like, who sometimes, don't get me wrong, those guys on Twitter sometimes find out stuff. But if I boil some pasta and I throw enough spaghetti at the wall, one of them's going to stick, you know, like that's their whole model. So, you know, sorry, guys. I'm not going to believe it.
All right.
I love, though, that Snopes had to debunk the rumor. That is wild.
As soon as you said Snopes, like, oh, boy, here we go. It's done. It's done. Nothing happened.
For Snopes to get involved. That's real shit. That's hilarious. All right, boys. That's pretty much the whole show. You know, the usual wild insanity of this podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We did a little heavy nerd out at the beginning about your display cases. But if you guys generally ever want to ask any of us about our collections, displays, hit us up on social medias. All our tags are there. You can see them on the screen. We always tag them in the description of the episode as well. So hit us up, guys, because we like to help guide people to a path of a better collection. So join us. And that's the whole show. We'll be back with another one next week. Right, boys? That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
We out. Peace, y'all. Peace. Be smart. And what was it I used to say? The always wear Jimmy Caps.
Safe sex. Always wear Jimmy Caps. And, yeah, safe sex, good sex. All that.
So. Peace.